Let's get together, talk about the movies that we saw this week. We'll have discussions, talk film news, we'll laugh a lot and act like geeks. Sometimes we'll have a guest or two, sometimes it's just the two of us. Let's crack some jokes and tell some folks to come along and hang with us!
Mike and Mike go to the movies. Mike and Mike go to the movies.
Yeah!
You have chosen wisely.
Vegeta! How many minutes is this episode of Mike and Mike Go to the Movies? It's over 9,000!
Couldn't commit to it, huh?
Yeah, I feel like I bailed on that halfway through. Should I try it again?
Yeah, you could do it. Are you ready? We're good.
It's over 9,000! That's better.
That's better.
I'm Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is a man who has been training for today's episode with Piccolo in the Hyperbolic Time Chamber.
Mike Tricio.
How you doing today, Mike?
I knew some of those words. I'm great. How are you?
I am great. I'm very excited about today's episode.
Good. I'm glad you are.
And so today's episode is another one of our classic people buy an episode. We should come up with a name for these probably. But somebody bought an episode on our Ko-fi page. They donated $50, and so they bought an episode. They chose a movie to make us watch.
Yeah, if you want to do that, you could do it too. Go to Ko-fi.com/Mike and Mike Pods. Tip $50. Tell us what you want us to watch.
Nerd. Yes, absolutely.
Fucking dare you.
Sorry. It's getting really weirdly aggressive in this episode. That's that power level. It's over 9,000.
That's over 9,000. You're right.
Yes. I promise this episode won't actually be over 9,000 minutes long, by the way.
God.
So this is actually sort of a weird like continuation of an episode we did a few weeks ago. A few weeks back on the podcast, Mac, who did the our artwork for our podcast, shout out to Mac at Fearless Guard on Twitter. Mac made us watch Transformers the movie. Mac donated $50 to the Ko-fi page, and they made us watch Transformers the movie from 1986. And then this week, Mac's roommate,
yes,
has donated $50 to make us watch a different animated movie.
Yes. To continue the childhood favorite franchise thing, is according to their note.
Yeah.
That was it. Since Mac got to do one, God damn it, I'm going to do one.
Yeah.
And here we are today.
Exactly. And the movie that they have chosen for us to watch is Dragon Ball Super Broly, written by Akira Toriyama and directed by Tetsuya Nagamine. And so what Mac's roommate could not have known, because I haven't really talked about this a lot on the podcast until recently when I found out we were watching this.
Yeah.
I am a huge Dragon Ball fan. I love Dragon Ball. And more specifically, like I loved it as a kid and then, stepped away from it. I put away childish things and grew into an adult. Yeah. And that's how I was for my 20s. And when Dragon Ball Super was airing, I didn't watch any of it. And then sometime, it was about last year, last summer, I decided out of the blue randomly, I think I maybe saw a clip of Dragon Ball Z on Twitter or something. I was like, that brings back memories. I wonder if I could start watching Dragon Ball. Turns out Funimation has an app, a streaming service. And so they have all the old Funimation dubs of TV shows and stuff. And that includes Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball Super. It's all there. And so I decided, you know what? I'm just going to watch Dragon Ball from the beginning. And so I did, or so I have been doing. There's a lot of episodes.
Yes.
In the past year or so, it's been a little over a year now, I have watched the entirety of the original run of Dragon Ball, and I am now on Dragon Ball Z. I am towards the end of the Saiyan saga in Dragon Ball Z. I am watching the original run of Dragon Ball Z. I'm not watching Dragon Ball Z Kai, which is a different thing, Mike. I don't know if you're aware of this at all.
I am aware of Kai, specifically in that everyone is like, just watch Kai. What are you doing? What are you wasting your life for?
See, I'm going to be a purist. I'm going to be
you're a psycho, though. It doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. Dragon Ball Z Kai, for those who don't know, is a redubbed, re-edited version of Dragon Ball Z. It basically gets through it a lot faster. It cuts out all the filler episodes because Dragon Ball Z was kind of notorious for having a lot of filler while they were waiting for the manga to catch up, essentially.
Right. I think that happens a lot, too, in anime stuff.
Yeah, especially the long running, I think Naruto and One Piece, they all have that kind of stuff, right?
As far as I'm aware, and I know the one show that I have watched, Full Metal Alchemist, has Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which is the Full Metal Alchemist, the main show, they surpassed the manga and we're just making up shit. We had the same thing.
Yeah.
And then Brotherhood is the trimmed down version that actually matches the manga.
Right. And so most people will tell you to watch Dragon Ball Z Kai. I get it. Me, though, I don't know. I like the filler.
You got to see that spirit bomb. I get it.
I gotta see that spirit bomb take like 10 full episodes to really develop. So I like the filler. So I'm watching Dragon Ball Z from the beginning now, and I'm about like 40 episodes into that. I still got like another 300 something to get through. And then I'm still kind of debating whether I want to watch GT first, which is considered non-canon now, or if I just jump straight into Dragon Ball Super. But all that is to say, I loved Dragon Ball growing up. I was really into Z. I mean, Z was the big show.
Yeah.
And that was the one that like really America got to see in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And so I had seen bits of Dragon Ball, and I had watched, I think, most or all of Dragon Ball GT. But like Dragon Ball Z was like my main thing. I had all the video games. I like watched that show a ton. Like every new episode that was coming out, I was watching it. Mm-hmm. So I really loved it. Mike D, your relation to Dragon Ball, different than mine.
Yeah, definitely more in the casual side, but I definitely remember watching Dragon Ball Z and like playing Dragon Ball Z at recess with my friends in third grade or whatever. You know, okay. Like we were running around Kamehameha-ing and all that shit or whatever. So I was definitely like into it at the time, but I don't know why or when I stopped. And then once I did, like you said, I moved on from childish pursuits and just never went back to it. And that's sort of broadly my anime thing also. Like I kind of for a really long time was just like, I don't like anime.
Right.
I'm refined or whatever. and didn't until I was like late in college. And then eventually was like, maybe I should watch some of these shows. And I watched basically Full Metal Alchemist and some of the Attack on Titan, which just ended, I think, finally. The show just ended like this weekend or some shit.
It was still going? I had no idea it was still going.
Yeah. I don't really know the whole story, but yeah, it paused for a long time and then came back and they finally ended it. And I don't know if that's because the manga finally ended or whatever. But yeah, so just like kind of broadly in passing, familiar with anime and Dragon Ball, just and also like I feel like Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball in general, like the characters and stuff are very iconic for like the late 90s, early 2000s stuff. So like I, you know who Goku is and all those things.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I was talking to one of my friends after I watched this and I was like, I can't remember anybody. So I was like, who's the green guy? And he's like, oh yeah, this and blah, blah, blah. And he was telling me all the stuff that I didn't remember. So yeah, going into this, you told me that it kind of where it takes place broadly in the kind of continuity of the series and stuff. And I was just like, oh boy, buckle up, here we go. Let's see if any of this comes back to me while I'm watching the movie. And I guess we'll get into that. But
yes, definitely. So yeah, this takes place during Dragon Ball Super. And so like I said, I've watched all of Dragon Ball. I'm watching Dragon Ball Z right now. I've never seen any of Dragon Ball Super. And not watched any of that show. I look forward to getting to it at some point, probably in the next like 2 years when I finally finish Dragon Ball Z. Because really my strategy for watching the show has been like, oh, whenever I have like, whenever it's 1 a.m. and my girlfriend has fallen asleep and I'm too tired to watch a movie, it's Dragon Ball time. And I crack open a beer and watch like 3 episodes of Dragon Ball. And it's pretty great. It's a great ritual that I have going
now,
on.
Now, let me ask you, is there continuity between the series? So there's Dragon Ball Z. Is there carryover or is Dragon Ball Z a hard reset?
So Dragon Ball Z, I mean, there is definitely retcons that happen, but Dragon Ball Z is a direct continuation of Dragon Ball.
Got it.
So Dragon Ball is basically Goku growing up. You get mostly adventures of Goku as a kid.
Okay.
And then Dragon Ball Z, he's an adult. And so Dragon Ball Z is where you learn about the Saiyans and all that kind of stuff, like any kind of alien stuff. That's all Dragon Ball Z onward. Dragon Ball One is like pretty much squarely on Earth. It's kind of mostly just revolves around like, you know, sometimes people want to take over the world and stuff and Goku has to stop them. But a lot of it is just about him training to get stronger. It has a bigger emphasis in just like adventuring and being a kid.
Right.
And there are three different arcs in Dragon Ball, the original series, that are just the World Martial Arts Tournament. And it's just the characters in the tournament. And, you know, sometimes there's like broader things happening there. Like, you know, Piccolo is in the tournament and he's a bad guy at that point. So that's a bad scene.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. But yeah, it's very heavily influenced by like Bruce Lee movies and all that kind of stuff. And I think as the series goes on with Dragon Ball Z, especially, it gets into more sci-fi stuff, extraterrestrial stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, and I have not seen any of Dragon Ball Super. It seems more in line with Z to me than the original Dragon Ball. Weirdly, Dragon Ball GT which only ran for like two seasons, was like a direct continuation of Z, but it was not with the involvement of Akira Toriyama, who created the manga and was writing the manga. So the manga ended. Like, the manga was over. Like, Dragon Ball Z was the end of the manga. Like, they finished it. And then they decided to do another anime series, just manga-less, which was Dragon Ball GT. A lot of fans don't like GT. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know. I was into it. I was into it. I liked it. But Dragon Ball GT was weirdly like more in line with the first Dragon Ball, the original, because the first thing that happens in Dragon Ball GT is Goku accidentally gets turned back into a kid.
Okay.
Emperor Pilaf from the original Dragon Ball has gotten the Dragon Balls and he's about to make a wish for world domination. But he gets beaten by Goku right before it happens. And then he blurts out I wish you were a little kid again so I could really teach you some manners or something. And then the dragon grants that. And so Goku becomes a little kid and he's that for the rest of the show.
Incredible.
Which, weirdly, there's a new Dragon Ball show coming out called Dragon Ball Daima. And it seems like, even though GT is not considered canon anymore, Daima is taking that concept and turning it to everybody, where just everybody gets turned into kids.
It's like Dragon Ball babies.
Basically, yeah. There's a trailer that just debuted a couple of weeks ago at New York Comic Con. And so, yeah, that's the new Dragon Ball TV show that's going to air sometime next year. The weird thing is that Dragon Ball Super, the manga is still going, but the anime has ended. The anime is over. And I have to imagine that's because they want to avoid the filler issue. And so at some point, they're going to do Dragon Ball Super Part 2 or something.
Right.
But as far as I know, there's 150 episodes of Dragon Ball Super, and the manga's still going on, but they have not finished it. They just kind of stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I know one of my friends has been watching all of the One Piece series, and that's 1,000 episodes, and he caught up to the dubbed or as far as the dub has gotten, the English dub, I think there's 50 episode lead on the subtitles. So he's within 50 episodes of finishing or being up to date on One Piece, which is run 1,000 episodes, and it's just
nice.
What are you doing? What's happening?
Is he switching over to the subtitle version, or is he going to wait till the dubs come out?
He, I believe, did start watching some of the subtitles, subbed episodes, but I know that a lot of it was listening while working and stuff, watching them while working. So he obviously can't do that with the subtitle version because he doesn't speak Japanese. So I don't know if he's going to stop or just slow down. But he powered through over since the summer, all of One Piece, which is nuts. So that's really why I haven't watched anime. It's just nah.
There's a lot of things to keep track of.
It's a lot of stuff and series and spinoffs and mangas and all that stuff.
Agreed. And that's why I also haven't really watched a ton of anime except for Dragon Ball. Fair. Love Dragon Ball.
Y'all, everyone's got one, Yeah, I also, exactly. I did watch Chainsaw Man. That was pretty solid. That's a new one. And I forgot how many episodes it was, 7 or 8 episodes. And it's fucking, mwah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Fair enough. But all right, so let's get into it, Mike. It's time for Dragon Ball Super Broly.
So tell me, Goku, why do you seek even more strength than you have already?
The Tournament of Power opened my eyes. No way I can stay at the same level I'm at now. I'm fired up. That must be the guy.
I don't know who he is, but his energy's absurd.
Do it, Broly!
How is this possible? Damn it, he's learning as he fights!
Magnificent! His power level is amazing! What the?
Looks like this is going to be tougher than we thought.
Yeah, I can't wait.
He's getting stronger!
All right, that was from the trailer for Dragon Ball Super Broly, again, directed by Tetsuya Nagamine and screenplay by Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball. And yeah, so Dragon Ball Super Broly, I want to get your take on this first, Mike, because like we said, you have much less of a relationship to this franchise than I do. And we had a similar situation a couple of weeks ago on the other podcast, The Complete Works, where Michelle Yeoh was in The Witcher Blood Origin, which was a prequel series to The Witcher TV show. You're a big Witcher fan. I am not, had never seen like a single Witcher thing. And so I was going in completely cold, and I felt that Blood Origin like really didn't do a lot to like get me in that if I wasn't already a Witcher fan.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm curious how you fared with Dragon Ball Super Broly.
So I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened, basically, as far as
the Transformers, the movie review all over again.
Yeah. And, but weirdly, I think having just recently watched that, you just giving me the heads up that like, oh, this is takes, I think you even told me like it takes place between seasons of Super. Yes. And it's like the third or fourth series, and it's reintroduced. It's like recanonizing all these characters and all this stuff. So you just gave me like a little heads up about that. So I was like prepared to just sort of not understand and not worry about what is happening or going on or who anybody is. And it was funny. I felt like I was actually, as far as like comprehending things, a little bit hindered by my like memory of stuff being like, but wait, I sort of remember who this guy is. And it's like just not being anything related to that at all. And just being like, oh, okay, what's happening? So that was fun. And I feel like it also has the feel of being like, there's a lot of stuff going on that's like kind of catching us up to present. What I felt like is catching us up to present day. There's a lot of like prologue, and then there's about a 45 minute fist fight, and then the movie ends. And I was just like, okay. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think it gets by on being Dragon Ball and being fun anime, insane, over the top, over 9,000 action fights and stuff like that. And when it's doing that, it's fun. I feel like maybe it overstays a little bit of that. I think it's like an hour and 45 minutes. It's not like a particularly long movie if it's right. Even an hour 45. And it gets by on a lot of that, but it does seem to overstay its welcome for me, having no real connection to this. I literally do think it's a 30 minute or 45 minute fight, like between Broly and
which is the point.
Like I get it.
It's a really weirdly structured movie, because that's like the first 40 minutes are like the prologue of like, you know, showing you what happened to planet Vegeta.
Yeah.
Frieza destroying it, Broly getting sent off on his own like deserted planet, his father going after him. You have Bardock, Goku's father, sending Goku off into space. And this is all stuff that we like know happened from previous Dragon Ball stuff, although the Broly stuff is relatively new. And also weird, like, you know, I feel like I've certainly made the connection before, but it's like very overt in this movie. Like, oh, Goku's origin is the same as Superman.
Yeah.
It's just the same.
It's just Superman.
It's just Superman. And so, yeah, the first 40 minutes are all that. And then you have like a scene where it's like, oh, hey, there's Goku and Vegeta and they're fighting. And there's a fun like transition where it finally leaves the like that prologue. And like you see the years kind of scrolling past online, like, you know, on screen.
It says like and age, like, and then it's just like a ticker of how old they are. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's, you know, everybody like, you know, there's sort of a transition thing where you see Kid Goku briefly, and it's like a quick flashes of like all the crazy fights that have happened and, you know, over the past years. And then it's just Goku and Vegeta sparring. And so you get like, you know, 5 minutes with them, and then suddenly you're back on the Broly planet.
Yeah.
There's very weirdly, very little Goku in this Dragon Ball movie.
I think that's what threw me off also. And also everybody kind of looks the same. You know, all the Saiyans kind of look the same.
Racist against Saiyans.
I guess so. It's just somebody get a different haircut is all I'm saying. So it made it a little confusing for me being like, but wait, I thought this guy, who is that? What's happening? You know, because I'm remembering stuff from 20 years ago. trying to remember stuff. But yeah, and I could kind of feel that being like, oh, that montage where it's just like the ticker of the eight and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, that's the show that I watched when I was 10. That's where it was.
I see it whizzing past me on the screen.
Yeah,
there it is.
Exactly. Yes. So I had a little bit of that experience, and then the fight maybe drags on a little bit for me. That said, I think it looks beautiful. It looks amazing. The hand drawn and the animation, 2D animation, and then a little bit of mix with the CGI stuff with the ships and things. So that's fun. And yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's exciting. It's fun. I feel like maybe if I was more familiar with the stuff, with the Dragon Ball things, I would be more excited when certain people show up or when certain things happen. And you know,
right.
You know, it's actually really funny. There's a moment where they do the like fusion dance thing, right? And the ding,
yes.
The fingers. That's an emote in Destiny 2. And
oh,
I was
really?
Like, that's where that's from. they do that in Destiny 2 a lot. There's like a lot of like references, emotes and stuff like that. Like there's an emote that's your guy drops to his knees and holds two flares up like the end of the rock. You know, it's okay, like shit, like there's pop culture stuff in the game. So I knew it was a reference to something, but I did not know it was specifically like a Dragon Ball fusion dance thing, which is very funny. So getting to see that, I was like, hey, I'm doing the Leo point you know,
yeah,
when that's going on. So yeah, I mean, overall it's fun. I think maybe, like I said, I would have enjoyed it more if I was more familiar and was more like into being indulged in that kind of fight for that long. You know,
right?
Like I know that that's the point of Dragon Ball and that's the whole thing. But for me, I was like, all right, it could be a 20-minute fight. You know, like we don't need to keep doing this. So that's really my only complaint is just as somebody who's not particularly attached or into on board for that kind of thing, it felt a little long in places where it didn't need to be as long, and then very short in places where it could have maybe been a little bit longer. So. Yeah, that's basically my neophyte reaction to Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Yeah, fair enough. I will say for me, so like I said, I have not seen any of Super, so I was a little worried about I figured I could probably follow along okay, just like having a pretty good knowledge of, you know, the base, like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. But having not seen Super, I was like, oh, maybe there'll be characters that I don't know.
Right.
And for the most part, there's not. And I was like vaguely aware, like I knew Frieza came back at some point. I actually didn't know Frieza was in this movie, so that was like a fun surprise for me.
That was pretty cool.
But yeah, I knew Frieza came back at some point because he dies in Dragon Ball Z, like dies hard.
Is he the spirit bomb guy?
Yeah. So that's when Goku turns Super Saiyan for the first time. He like does the spirit bomb and, you know, gets all of Namek's energy together, I think multiple planets actually, and defeats Frieza. Frieza, I don't think actually dies there, because then very quickly after that, they all finally make their way back to Earth, and then Mecha Frieza shows up.
Frieza?
Yeah, Frieza as a robot shows up.
Hell yeah.
And they think, oh shit, like Goku's like, everybody's so drained from the fight on Namek, like they just got back, what's gonna happen? But then Trunks from the future comes back.
Whoa.
And he annihilates Frieza almost instantly.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's when Frieza actually dies in Dragon Ball Z.
Got it. Is Trunks in Broly? Because my friend asked me and I was like, honestly, couldn't tell you.
Very briefly as a kid, he's the one, he calls Bulma on the phone to tell her that the Dragon Balls have been stolen.
Got it. Okay.
So Bulma is Trunks' mom.
Okay.
And so Trunks as a kid is like kind of the one that's in most of Dragon Ball Z and Super. However, Future Trunks is the coolest character that's ever existed. He has a purple jacket and a sword and he turns Super Saiyan almost immediately. I think he's the person that you next see turn Super Saiyan after Goku. Like
wow.
When Goku turns Super Saiyan for the first time, he comes back to Earth and then Trunks comes from the future and he turns Super Saiyan. It's like, holy shit.
Everybody's doing this.
Yeah. It's very cool. And then there was a Dragon Ball Z movie called like The History of Trunks, which showed like what happened in the future, like before Trunks came back.
All I can think of is History of Violence rotoscoped with Trunks over. Viggo Mortensen. Somebody
pretty
make
cool.
That movie.
Be pretty neat. But actually, speaking of, so this movie is, it's also, in addition to being like a new Dragon Ball Super story, it's sort of like a reimagining of a couple of Dragon Ball Z movies.
Okay.
Because there was like a bunch of those movies, like the direct-to-video or direct-to-TV movies that came out. And there was a movie about Broly back in the day. There was Dragon Ball Z Broly, the legendary Super Saiyan. And there was actually three Broly movies.
Damn, Broly's all over the place.
Yes. And so Broly was like a fan favorite character from back in the day, but he was never in the main show. He was only in those three movies and he was a villain. Like he was a full on just bad guy. And so, you know, they I think at some point they declared like all those like, you know, direct to video, direct to TV, Dragon Ball Z movies, Dragon Ball movies, anything that like didn't involve Akira Toriyama, who was the creator of Dragon Ball.
Got it.
It was basically non-canon. Like it didn't happen. So like the only things that matters were like the Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z shows, which and now, you know, with Dragon Ball Super, like from what I can understand, it seems like they are taking some of the stuff from those movies, like from the expanded Dragon Ball media, and kind of like re-canonizing them and putting them back into Dragon Ball canon in Super. And so they took Broly because he was a fan favorite and now kind of reimagined him as a slightly more sympathetic character. So he's sort of the villain of this movie. But by the end, he's a good guy,
yeah.
Which is the case with a lot of Dragon Ball villains, you know, much like the Fast and Furious franchise. It's all about family.
Yeah.
And so Tien Shinhan was a villain first and he became a good guy. Piccolo was a villain first. Vegeta is the most famous example, probably, who was a villain first and then became he's the co-lead of this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems like Broly in this one, they really set him up immediately as like, oh, he's actually pretty sympathetic. Like he's being manipulated by by his dad and stuff. And so he can't control his rage. But then at the end of the movie, Goku, you know, gives him a senzu bean, gives him a house to live in. And it's like, oh, we'll train sometime. I'm Goku.
Yeah. I thought I was the strongest, but maybe you're stronger. Wink. Yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But so it kind of takes Broly from those Broly movies. It also takes Bardock, who was Goku's father. And in the there was definitely at least one Bardock movie back in the day, which kind of showed what happened with all that. And so they kind of incorporate that into this movie, too, and all that stuff. All that is to say, I really enjoyed it. I had a great time.
Cool.
You know, I had a good time. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to, like, keep up with it necessarily, like, just because it's so far in advance. Like, I haven't watched any of Super. I don't think you really need to have seen Super in order to watch this movie. As long as you have, like, a vague awareness of the characters.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty good. There's, like, two characters, Beerus and Wiz, who are in the movie, who are just from Super. But I recognized them, like I was aware of who they were.
Are they the two little pilots, the guys that find Broly and they're his father and the?
Oh no, that those are I think original to this movie actually.
Oh, okay.
I liked the girl a lot too. She was great.
She was cool, yeah.
But no, Beerus is like that dog creature that's hanging out with Goku and Vegeta and like the on like their
oh
beach,
the like god their, guy
yeah the yeah. god of destruction who I know is a bad guy in Super and I guess at some point he's not.
I guess he's not. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then Wiz is like the blue guy that's hanging out with them too.
Yes, got it.
You know, so I think at some point they're like maybe training with him or whatever. But really, if I had any complaints, and I know the show has like grown beyond some of these characters and stuff, I miss some of my old buddies. My old Z Fighters weren't in this movie. There's no Krillin. There's a brief flashback to when Krillin got killed in Namek. I think he was killed or at least really hurt. But Krillin, Tien, Yamcha, Chaozu, my old boys. They're not in.
I did recognize some of them. There is a moment I can't remember what the context is, but it's like Goku has to like remember everyone you ever defeated and to try to beat Broly, and there's just like a montage of just like all the faces flashing, and I was like, oh, some of these guys look sort of familiar, and I assumed that was like, oh, it's Dragon Ball Z flashing by in a montage flashing past the screen. So I wondered if it's some of them ever in there too.
Yes, I think they might have been. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but there's so many characters in Dragon Ball that have just popped up over the years, and I assume Super like kind of doesn't focus on some of those characters anymore.
Yeah,
like, you know, which is what it is. But yeah, so I assume Super doesn't really focus on those characters anymore. I thought it handled Broly really well. I thought Broly was really cool in this movie. And like you said, the animation just looks so cool. Like the art style is like really like, you know, I think the regular TV show looks good. Like it looks cool. But this really was really like a step above of what like the TV show could do. And like, you know, it was clear that like they had a lot more time to figure out like cooler looking stuff. And so that whole fight with Broly is pretty rad. It's pretty awesome. And I think I loved seeing the fusion technique being used and Gogeta coming back. Gogeta also a thing from Dragon Ball GT, which was considered non-canon now.
Huh.
And so that's being pulled back in.
That was fun. I liked the whole them practicing the fusion thing with Piccolo in the time hyperspace. What'd you call it? The hyperbolic time something?
Oh, is that where they were?
Yeah, because like they're in the fight with Broly, but then they're like, and they're just, I mean, I have no idea where they actually are, but they're like, all of a sudden teleport to like this green pasture with Piccolo.
Yeah, so they're in the green pasture. I mean, so so my memory of the hyperbolic time chamber, which isn't really introduced until like the Majin Buu saga of Dragon Ball Z, so pretty late in the show.
Well, naturally,
is it's like this pretty like pristine cerulean like building, like it's all porcelain.
Okay, then yeah.
So it might be a different version of that. That would make more sense because otherwise it implies that like Broly is just beating up on Frieza for like a full hour.
Right. Yeah. It seemed like they're in like some dimension. Like they got hit so hard they get teleported to Piccolo.
Yeah.
And then they're all practicing the fusion things. And they're like, their angles are wrong or their fingers don't touch.
Yes.
So like they're teleporting into like fusing into like monstrosities.
Right. which that used to happen. So when they did the fusion technique in Dragon Ball Z, and it was with Goten and Trunks when they were kids, and they turn into Gotenks, and like Piccolo trains them in how to do that. But that happens to Gotenks too. Like he turns into fat Gotenks first and all that kind of stuff. And I remember specifically one of the Dragon Ball video games. I don't remember which one exactly, but one of the Dragon Ball games let you try to do the fusion technique during a match, like if you were fighting somebody. But you had to hit a certain combination of buttons to do it. And if you messed it up, you turned into fat Gotenks.
That's awesome.
And I thought that was really fun. I was reminded of that watching this.
Yeah.
And then there was one Dragon Ball game that like just had them all as separate characters. Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3 had like 150 playable characters, and it was madness. It was wild.
Wow.
Yeah. They're making a new one also. Tenkaichi 4 is going to be happening at some point.
Whoa.
And I'm very excited about that.
I bet you'll have to pay for all the characters now. So
society,
anyway.
The economy.
Damn, devastating. Game, capitalism. Hashtag games. Yeah, so that stuff is fun. And then, of course, they come in. So my thing with like, oh, we kind of, this fight drags on for so long, because I think there is a pretty like well-plotted escalation, right? It's just like them fighting them. They like beat Broly, right? And then he, or like whatever, defeat him, and his father's like, oh, give up, son. But he turns into a great ape, but not, or whatever. He goes through his like rage transformation or whatever. And
right,
can't
because
stop.
He doesn't have a tail, so he can't turn into the great ape, but he like kind of gets the strength of it inside his own body or something.
Exactly. He goes insane. The roid rage kicks in, basically. Yeah. And then, so like, oh, there's escalation. And then like, you know, from a casual, I don't understand what I'm necessarily looking at thing. Like, oh, okay, we've gone Super Saiyan. Their hair is pink now. There's an extra level, and then they're blue, and then they fuse, and then they're fused to purple or whatever. Like their hair, like obviously I know that's like different power levels or whatever is going on, but like at a certain point I'm losing the thread beyond we're destroying the planet that we're fighting on. Like at a certain cosmic level, we've hit a ceiling. And that's sort of where
we destroyed the glacier that we're fighting on, and we caused global warming.
We're like creating and destroying volcanoes and stuff, and it looks awesome. Like it looks really cool, but like just as far as visually comprehending that we're getting more powerful, you hit a ceiling on with for me. It was like, and then there's
I think
like 15
true.
Or 20 more minutes after that, and I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, and also like again, I haven't watched any of Super yet, so I haven't seen them go through some of these power changes. So because I know, you know, they're Super Saiyan, obviously. I think the red one is Super Saiyan God, and then the other one's Super Saiyan Blue. Like it's just called Blue. Because I think at a certain point, like throughout Z, Goku goes up to Super Saiyan 3, which in that
I do remember that. Yeah,
he has like really long blonde hair, and like his forehead juts out for some reason.
Yeah.
And then in GT, I don't know if they ever do this in Super, but in GT he turns into Super Saiyan 4. And that's like he turns into like a humanoid version of an ape kind of thing.
Okay,
where it's like long black hair, but he's like, you know, standing. Like when he's muscular and he just looks like an ape.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they ever do 4 in Super, but yeah, I haven't seen him go God or Blue. And so I was like a little bit struggling to keep up with like all that. Like I kind of figured like that's what it was, but I was like, okay. Yeah. At a certain point, I don't know what the difference is. Right.
You know? Just different color hair. That's fine. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But Broly's keeping up with him, and then they're finally gonna blow him away, and the two little like nerd guys in their ship get the Dragon Balls and wish him back to his home planet, and the dragon saves him. And those two characters are fun. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I think they're fun. Chili and Limo, I think, are their characters' names. Chirai and Remo, maybe in English. But yeah. They're fun. I like them a lot. They're fun.
Yeah. And then they go to save, or they like find Broly on his home planet. And that's sort of the end with Goku teleporting to them and being like, oh, maybe we can learn something from each other.
Yeah. You can call me Kakarot, and jumps out.
I know what that's a reference to. Wink.
Do you actually know what that's a reference to?
No.
Kakarot is his Saiyan name. That's his, like, the name he was born with on Planet Saiyan or Planet Vegeta. But the planet is also named Vegeta. I don't know if that's
that was confusing. King Vegeta, okay. Prince Vegeta, the planet's Vegeta. He's Vegeta the Fourth. Like, what is happening?
Yes. And so his name on Planet Vegeta was Kakarot, and then he crash lands to Earth. Basically, the origin story of Goku is that when he comes to Earth, because he's a Saiyan, he is like hardwired to just destroy the planet.
Okay.
And then he bumps his head and loses that part of himself.
Hit with a coconut and he forgets what to do.
Basically, yeah. and so he just becomes a good guy, and he's like the strongest guy on Earth. And growing up as a kid, he didn't know anything about the Saiyans. And so he was found by Grandpa Gohan, which Goku's son, also named Gohan after his grandfather. And so Grandpa Gohan found him, and he named him Goku. And he was Goku for all of Dragon Ball. He is still Goku mostly, but Vegeta always calls him Kakarot because he's also a Saiyan.
Got it. Interesting.
Yeah, and so do any other Saiyans that show up. The first saga of Dragon Dragon Ball Z, which is, I think, my favorite stretch of the show, which is the one I'm in right now, is the Saiyan Saga, which is where you basically find out, like, everything you thought about Dragon Ball was a lie. Goku was an alien this whole time. Like, the show opens, like, the first, I think Goku dies in the first, like, five episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
What?
Which in retrospect is, like, really wild. Like, the show starts that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dragon Ball Z starts and Goku's brother shows up, Raditz, who is, you see him briefly in this movie as a kid and it looks really weird. The kid with the long hair who's like, I don't care if Kakarot dies.
Yes. I remember. Yeah.
And so Raditz shows up, tells Goku his whole backstory about how he's a Saiyan and that basically he wants to recruit Goku to join him and two other Saiyans who are Nappa and Vegeta to help destroy a planet. And if he doesn't, then he's going to kill this planet and he's going to steal Goku's kid because Goku now has a son, Gohan, who's like 4 years old.
My God.
And so he kidnaps Gohan. Goku and Piccolo go to fight him. And in the and Piccolo's still a bad guy at this point, but he realizes like how bad this could be if like the Saiyans take over because he wants to take over the planet himself.
Naturally.
And so basically he and Goku fight Raditz and ultimately Goku is able to grab Raditz's tail, which is his weakness. And Piccolo uses the special beam cannon to cut through Raditz, but it also cuts through Goku and Goku dies. And then Goku spends like 30 episodes in the afterlife training with King Kai to get stronger and then come back to fight Vegeta and Nappa. And that's how Vegeta kind of comes into the show.
Got it. And then Broly.
And then Broly, yes.
Yeah, I get it.
And Broly's also out there somewhere.
Being friends with the big dragon dog thing.
Yes. That was a fun little character beat.
Cool.
Too. Yeah, that was fun. He wears the dragon's ear as a symbol. Also, I really liked, Frieza's in this movie. And the movie starts with like the prologue and it shows you Frieza destroying planet Vegeta and all that stuff. And you see like kind of like there's non-speaking cameos from like characters from Z, like the Ginyu Force are there, which is fun.
Was I understanding that Frieza like commits a coup and it makes it the Frieza Force, right? Is that like what was going on there?
I think so. Well, the Ginyu Force served Frieza, and then I'm pretty sure all of the Ginyu Force dies in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay.
When they're all on Namek. So they do work for Frieza for a while, but they're all just like in the background of the scene in Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I assume when all the Ginyu Force dies, then I guess, yeah, it's just the Frieza Force. I mean, again, Frieza dies and then comes back. So maybe he just restarts it all and names it the Frieza Force. Whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
But I thought Frieza was pretty fun in the movie. His voice was noticeably different for me because I didn't realize that his voice actor changes starting with Dragon Ball Z Kai.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, his and Bulma's voices sounded a little bit off to me. But everybody else sounded fine. I think everybody else, like Goku and Vegeta, are all the same and, you know, all that stuff. But there's a moment in the movie where Frieza shows up. I also wanted to actually mention this movie has weirdly low stakes.
Yeah.
Because it's not about Frieza trying to, like, destroy the planet or conquer the world or anything like that. It's the reason Frieza is looking for the Dragon Balls is he wants to be 5 centimeters taller.
I actually forgot. I wanted to mention that too. Yeah. The way that is played is so funny.
Yeah. It is very, very funny. And kind of like, you know, there's Frieza is, I think, probably the most like iconic Dragon Ball villain and also like the most queer coded.
Okay.
And I think the way he like, at least in the English dub, did you watch it in Japanese or English?
I did. I ended up watching it. Ended up watching it in English.
Okay. Yeah. I felt like the English dub, like kind of, it's weird because it plays off of the scene that Bulma has earlier.
Right. She's probably 5 years younger because it's not noticeable.
Yeah. Bulma's like, you know, trying to get the Dragon Balls and, you know, oh, what did you want to wish for, Bulma? And she's like, oh, I wanted to look younger.
Yeah.
And then they're asking like, oh, like how long? Like, just 5 years. And it's like, oh, like, well, because then the people start asking questions. Like, it'll be noticeable. Like, it was just 5 years younger. It's like, wow, I look great. And nobody's going to question it. And everybody's like kind of making fun of her for that and all that stuff. But then a few minutes later, they're asking Frieza what his wish is going to be. And he's like, oh, I want to be taller.
Yeah. Well, he's making them like try to guess what it is. And the guy, and they're like also afraid to mention his height.
Yes.
Except for that one person who's like, well, clearly it'll be about you want to be taller. And yeah. Everyone's like, oh, you can't say that he's short. Like this whole big thing. And he has this whole big like villain monologue with dramatic music and stuff about how he wants to be 5 centimeters taller because if it's any more than that, it'll be noticeable. It's just like the same logic. It's so good. So funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. And I think that somebody even mentions like, you know, one of your other forms was really tall. Why don't you go back to that form?
That was one of the things that I didn't like understand or remember is that they can like just transform each other themselves and stuff, right? Because they're like, and they show like a police lineup of all of his forms, which is pretty funny. And they're like, "Why don't you just go back to this form?" And it's like, he was 6'10" or like or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's like, "No, I have to look like I'm still growing or whatever."
That will strike fear into the hearts of my enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, so good.
Which is very funny. And so, but yeah, I did like, there's a moment towards the end. So Frieza, you know, picks up Broly and Broly's father, Paragus, I think is his name. And yes. So the fight is happening with Broly and Goku and Vegeta. And, you know, they think that Broly is losing. And Frieza is trying to, like, awaken his, like, latent Super Saiyan abilities. He thinks he has the ability to do it. And then Frieza flashes back to a moment from Dragon Ball Z. And it's the moment where Goku turns Super Saiyan. And he realizes, like, Goku turns Super Saiyan because I killed his friend, like, at that moment, like, right in front of him. Like, I killed Krillin. Like, you see that moment where he kills Krillin. Or, like, I think he kills Krillin, or, like, it really hurts him bad. I think Goku at that moment thinks he killed Krillin.
Yeah.
And Krillin's already been wished back once, so you can't wish him back with the Dragon Balls. So that's, you know, that's tricky stuff.
That's also Dragon Ball 101.
Yeah, exactly. That's the rules of the Dragon Balls. You can make each wish you do once. You can't do it twice. And so, yeah, and so he realizes that's how Goku turns Super Saiyan. So he just, like, casually kills his dad and then he's like, "Broly, a blast went back." Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, stray blast hit your father and killed him. No. And that's when Broly turns Super Saiyan. And I thought that was very smart of Frieza.
Yeah, good look at Frieza. He's a good little guy.
Yeah. But yeah, and I was, yeah, they do reference something with Frieza, like how Goku actually ended up, like, bringing him back to life or something. And that's a whole thing where I have no idea what happened there.
Sure. I don't even remember that. there's so much in this movie.
That's relatively early on, I think. And I think that's when they first find out Frieza is, like, looking for the Dragon Balls.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do talk about that.
Like, Vegeta's like, "You dumbass, why did you bring him back?" Or, yeah. Or something. And I think they're referencing something from Super where there was, like, a tournament or something that, like, it was in Frieza's interest to align with them or something. But then Frieza was dying and Goku brought him back or something. And so, yeah, I don't know what the deal is there. I'm sure when I get to Super, I'll find out. I'm sure it'll be great.
You know what? I hate to admit that I kind of want to watch all of Dragon Ball now.
Good. This is what I'm hoping.
I hate that this got me.
This is what I was hoping would happen.
Is there a Kai version of, like, not literally Kai, but, like, a thing like that of the original series also? Do you know?
I don't think so. I don't know. Dragon Ball Z is, like, more, I don't know, more accessible than the original Dragon Ball. I mean, it's all on, you can get it through the Funimation app. It's like, and I'm sure you can easily pirate it or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if you were to look for just, like, DVDs or Blu-rays of stuff, like, the original Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Z, very easily accessible. Dragon Ball has not been, the original run of Dragon Ball, I don't think has been issued on DVD or Blu-ray in a very long time. And so it's, they're actually, like, relatively expensive to try to find the DVDs and all that stuff. But the original run of Dragon Ball is, like, 150 episodes. So it's not like Dragon Ball Z where it, like, became, like, unwieldy, where Dragon Ball Z is, like, 400 episodes.
Wow. And I know my friend also, like, with the him watching all of the One Piece stuff, it's really only, like, you know, they're, like, 22 minute episodes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, really, it's only 15 minutes of new stuff because it's the opening credits, the recap, and the end credits are, like, 10 minutes.
That's true. Yeah. And that is also often the case with the Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. So it's like, if you actually want to just, like, watch the new stuff, it's a pretty easy to speed through all of it, which is very interesting.
Yeah. See, it's, for me, I'm like, I got to watch the opening credits. I got to.
I get it.
Yeah. It's part of the ritual.
Yeah.
But I would recommend it. It's really fun. I think most of Dragon Ball, which I hadn't really seen a ton of the original Dragon Ball. I think I had seen, like, some of the beginning and some of the end, maybe. But, like, most of Dragon Ball, I think, is really good. There's, like, a lull in, like, the third or fourth arc where I was like, I don't know about this, but it comes back. It comes back. And then it just keeps, like, going up. I think once you get to, like, arc 5 or 6, you're in some good stuff. And the first, like, 2 or 3 arcs of the show are really fun, too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, pretty low stakes as far as whether or not I watch any of this. Or
I do think the funniest result of this would be you starting to watch Dragon Ball and then you lapping me.
And passing you.
Yeah.
That'd be very funny.
Because I've taken, like, over a year to just get to Dragon Ball Z. Like, yeah. You know? I think that would be the funniest way to do it. So if you wanted to do it, that would be great.
Especially if I watch Kai, I'll definitely pass you.
Definitely.
In Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I'm stuck with Dragon Ball Z for, like, another at least year, probably two. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have a great time.
Hey, we're fair to you.
Yeah. Any other random stuff in Dragon Ball Super Broly that we should talk about, Mike?
No, sorry, I was just laughing at me picturing you in between reading, like, 1972 issues of Iron Man and then watching episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
What I've recently, like, discovered, not recently, but, like, what I've discovered about myself in the last few years is I really like when there's a lot of something.
Yes.
that I can just like start from the beginning and to go really slowly through, and so what Mike is referring to is that I have a Marvel Unlimited subscription and I've been reading from the beginning for the last, I want to say 6 years. It was definitely before I moved to Montana. I was doing it. And so I've been reading from Fantastic Four number one onward. So like 1961 Marvel comics. Right now I'm in 1978.
Oh, you're that far? 78?
I am that far. I'm on the cusp of the 80s.
Let's go, baby.
In a year and a half. I think I'm in July of 78. And so it's always, and I'm reading everything, or as everything that's available on Marvel Unlimited, basically. Right. And that's been a very fun experience. But it also means I'm like completely out of the loop on what's happening now in Marvel Comics, which I could also be reading because it's all on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm way back in the 70s. But every once in a while, I'm like watching like, you know, a Spider-Verse movie comes out and like, oh, it's Miles Morales. Can't wait to get to him in like 15 years when I get to that year in the...
Yeah.
I've been averaging like 3 or 4 years every year of that I've been reading these comics. So at the current rate, I think I'm going to get to Miles Morales comics sometime in like 2030.
That'll be incredible. I can't wait.
It's also going to get more unwieldy as it goes on because like as more time passes, like once you get to the 90s and the 2000s especially, it's just like, oh, now Marvel's putting out 80 comics a month. Oh,
cool. Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's a fun adventure, but that's been the fun of Dragon Ball too. It's like, it's a fun show to have on. It's nostalgic, and yeah, it's been a great ritual over the last year to just be able to turn on Dragon Ball and like crack open a beer at 1 a.m. and watch it.
Watch a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds fun. I don't know. Maybe I'll get back into anime in a big way.
This could be the turning point.
Or into anime in a big way.
Yes. I was trying to think, like, I mean, I watched Dragon Ball was my anime show. Really, it was whatever was on Toonami.
Remember
Toonami?
Yeah. I do remember Toonami. I think that, this is probably where I was watching Dragon Ball Z. Was probably Toonami, right? Like, and yeah, there's a couple of them in like when I was in college and stuff. That's sort of where I watched. I also watched like Afro Samurai, I think, was on there and stuff,
sure,
which
is
only I think 6 or 7 episodes and stuff like that. So yeah, there was a little phase there in college where I was like, I'm doing it, and I watched like one series and I was like, I'm out. I've accomplished it.
Yes. Yeah. I did watch Death Note. I was a Death Note kid.
Okay. Okay.
Also, I liked that show. I watched that on YouTube, I think, because that was back when like you could just post shows on YouTube and they wouldn't get taken down.
Yeah. And they just didn't know the internet yet.
Yeah. It was the Wild West. It was incredible. But yeah, I watched all of Death Note on YouTube. I think I watched, I'm not sure if I watched all of this, but the show was like 6 episodes, but I thought it was great. It was Fooly Cooly.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. And then like Toonami, like I watched Teen Titans a lot. That's like anime adjacent kind of thing. Because I think it was an American show, so I'm not sure if it counts as like an anime, but like anime inspired for sure. But yeah, I watched Teen Titans, watched a Zatch Bell was a show on Toonami that I enjoyed.
Okay.
It was pretty fun. Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo. Do you remember that one?
I don't know.
It was nonsense. It was complete nonsense.
You know what?
Rurouni Kenshin was a cool show.
That sounds familiar.
That was like a show about a samurai, I think. Kyle, who's editing this podcast right now, he was a bigger Rurouni Kenshin guy.
Okay.
I think may have been Rurouni Kenshin for Halloween 1 year. I don't know. Kyle, weigh in on Rurouni Kenshin when you get a chance.
Insert here.
Hey, Kyle here. My microphone isn't hooked up, so this generated voice is what you get. I never went as Rurouni Kenshin for Halloween, but that was one of my favorite animes. If you ever get a chance to check it out, make sure you watch the Media Blasters dub and not the Sony dub. The Sony dub sucks ass.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a weird resentment about anime, to just be totally off topic, with when I was working at FYE. There's obviously an anime section in the DVDs, and it was just the worst aisle, because there's 8,000 volumes of everything, specifically One Piece and the Dragon Ball and all those things, all the different DVD sets and stuff. So it was just a nightmare to have to sort and keep organized, because people would destroy it and there'd just be shit all over the floors, and you have to try to cram them all back into the shelves because there were 1,000 episodes of One Piece on DVD in the section. So it was a nightmare. So because of that, I was like, no, I hate you.
I hate anime now.
Yeah. So I'm trying to work through it, but
yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, that's Dragon Ball Super Broly. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed getting to talk about Dragon Ball, or talk at you about Dragon Ball for a while, Mike.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It's fun. I mean, like, I think I had just enough of a passing familiarity with some of these characters to be like, oh, that's the green guy.
Right. Yeah, that's the green guy.
That's the green guy. I remember him.
Yes. And I know there was another Dragon Ball Super movie a couple years later. Oh. This actually last year came out. And I remember when it was coming out. I think it was like right after I started watching Dragon Ball, actually. And this played in theaters. Like it played like the AMC near me. And it was playing for a while. I never went to go see it because I was like, well, I can't go see it now. I'm watching Dragon Ball. I can't get this. But it was called Dragon Ball Super Superhero. And from what I understand, the leads of the movie are not Goku or Vegeta. It's actually like Piccolo and Gohan.
That sounds rad.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. And it's like Piccolo and Gohan fighting against the Red Ribbon Army and they're like androids, which are from like the original series of Dragon Ball. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. That's pretty neat.
I think I'm just going to become a Piccolo stan. That feels
right. I mean, there's worse stans to be. Piccolo fucking rules. He's the best. I mean, when you get to him, if you do end up watching Dragon Ball, when you get to him in Dragon Ball, it's very exciting.
Really?
That's awesome. Well, yeah, because he starts off, there's King Piccolo.
Whoa.
So King Piccolo is like the bad guy. He's immediately just like the worst guy you've ever met. He's the big bad of the show.
The real son of a bitch.
Yes. And then at the very end of that saga, basically King Piccolo starts off, kills Krillin. Like,
how dare.
Done. Krillin's dead, and he's killing off all the fighters in the World Martial Arts Tournament. And so Goku, and he ends up killing Chao Tzu and Master Roshi as well. And so, yeah, there's some bad stuff going down. And the thing with Dragon Ball, like, people die, and then, like, the Dragon Balls can bring it back. So it's like, it's
whatever.
Yeah, but it does manage to make it feel, like, pretty weighty at that moment. And also, at that time, actually, too, when Piccolo kills them, he also uses the Dragon Balls to make himself younger, like Bulma does. But like actually, like, you know, return to a more youthful form, because he's very old when he's first introduced.
Got it.
He turns to a more youthful form, and then he destroys the dragon. He kills the dragon.
Destroys
the Dragon Balls.
How is there four more series after that?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, so after that, so Goku ultimately does defeat Piccolo and kills him. But when that version of Piccolo dies, he like spits out an egg, and like this resurrected version of Piccolo, Piccolo Jr., who is the Piccolo that you know,
got it,
comes out of it. And so he also starts off as a bad guy. And I think I thought for a long time that he was like, oh, it's King Piccolo's son, but it is actually like literally like a resurrected version of Piccolo.
Okay,
reincarnated
or something.
Yeah, exactly. But then Goku goes up to Kame, who is the guardian of Earth, Kame is the guardian of Earth, who created the Dragon Balls. And he is like forever tied to Piccolo.
Okay.
And so he is aware that there is like a resurrected version of Piccolo that will hatch and like will be like running around Earth in a little while. And so Goku like goes up there to train with him and train with Mr. Popo. But while he's up there, he's able to get Kame to create a new set of Dragon Balls and resurrect his friends.
Got it. Is this what you felt like when I was explaining the conjunction of spheres to you?
Yes, 100%.
But at least I've heard some of these words before, at least. So I have that much leg up on you than when we were discussing the Witcher mythology.
Right. So there's that.
I don't have to stop and ask you, so what is a Dragon Ball?
Yeah. Yeah, I think my favorite part of that episode is like when like 40 minutes in, I was like, all right, I'll bite. What's a Witcher?
What's a Witcher? Yeah. What's a Goku? Tell me Goku.
But yeah, so Dragon Ball Super, Superhero, I've heard good things, but Dragon Ball Super Broly, thumbs up, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know, it's fun. It's fun enough for me, you know, somebody with no connection to these, really. I think it gets by enough on its beautiful animation and its pretty fun action and stuff. Maybe a little overlong when you're not like, oh shit, their hair is purple now or whatever, like when that means nothing to you. yeah, overall it's fun, it's good times.
Yeah, I did have a vision of like, man, I wish I got to watch this in a theater full of screaming nerds.
You're just, it's like you and Vin, friend of the show Vin Craig, who I think really loves this movie, and you're just like throwing popcorn and shit and just going insane when their hair changes color. Like, how cool would that have been?
Yeah, we should have had Vin on the show to talk about this. I think we talked about it and then forgot to text him.
Yeah,
but yeah, Vin, you'll be on the show soon. He's not listening, so don't worry.
Don't worry.
I mean, he might be for the Dragon Ball Super Broly episode. He might actually be. But all right, so I think that is going to wrap things up for this week, Mike. So where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at MDFilmBlog on Twitter and Letterboxd. You can also find me at MDFilmBlog.bsky.social on Blue Sky. If you would like to donate to support the show, you can do that at our Ko-fi page, which is ko-fi.com/MikeAndMikePods. If you want to also, like we said, spend $50, you could donate right there. Pick an episode, pick a title, pick a movie, pick a show, pick a whatever. Well, I guess not a show, but pick a thing, whatever. Make us watch it.
Yeah.
We're trying to make this November our pledge drive month because we have another one of these coming up next week also, but there's two more weeks in November. Go ahead.
Donate $50 to the Ko-fi page. You can buy an episode of the show. You can make us watch Dragon Ball Super Superhero if you wanted to.
Dare you. Pick another one. I don't know. Pick a another random anime that Mike and I have no connection to and make us watch one of the movies.
Yeah, I feel like I really lucked out with this one.
Yeah,
I
don't know just by chance. Yeah.
If you made us watch like the One Piece movie or something, I'd be like, I don't know what's going on. I got nothing here. But Dragon Ball Super Broly, it rules. Thanks to Max Roommate for making us watch this movie.
Yes, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And if you want merch, we have merch available on our Redbubble, which is mikeandmikepods.redbubble.com.
That's right. You can find me online at msmithfilmblog on Twitter, Mike Smith Film on Letterboxd, Radio Mike Sandwich on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening to Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. I'm Mike Smith. That's Mike DiCriscio. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. And if you want to contact us, you can tweet at us at Mike and Mike Pod. You can find the rest of our podcast on Rapture Press, alongside many other podcasts about kind of comic books and movie news and all that good stuff. So next week, like Mike said, it is another episode in which somebody bought on Ko-fi. It's a weird way to structure that sentence, but somebody bought an episode on Ko-fi, specifically producer Colin paid $50 and is going to make us watch Roland Emmerich's White House Down from 2013. And I think the reason behind that, it was a few weeks ago on the show. I don't remember why we were talking about this. I also don't remember if it was this podcast or The Complete Works.
I feel like it was a Complete Works snipe. Okay. But I don't remember.
For some reason we were talking about, you know what? I think we were talking about like movies coming out at the same time that were very similar to each other.
Probably,
something like that. And so we were talking about specifically with this example, White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen coming out in the same year, like within a couple months of each other, both movies about like, you know, the White House being attacked and the Secret Service agent has to protect the president and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember the exact context of the conversation, but I think in that conversation, we were like, I think we were confused on which one was which for a second. And we were like, producer Colin would know. Let's ask him. Let's ask him.
Correct. And Colin said we were right, but then he couldn't remember, actually. And it was like, never mind, pick one. And here we go. And so, yeah, he just picked White House Down. And so that's what we're doing.
Okay. I mean, we're big Moonfall fans. So will we be big White House Down fans?
What if the White House fell?
Was down.
It was down. Yeah. That's right.
I still have the Moonfall poster up in my room, actually. That's still there.
I can also confirm producer Colin still has the wrapped Blu-ray double pack of Moonfall and Knowing, because which is like, you know, some $5 Walmart thing or Best Buy or something, which RIP Best Buy selling physical media, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But that package is just those two movies shrink wrapped together. So if you take them out of the shrink wrap, it's just an individual copies of those movies. So he won't open them because then he just has an individual copy of Knowing and an individual copy of Moonfall.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't he already have Knowing?
Yes, he does. Okay. Absolutely.
Beautiful. All right. So, yeah, White House Down is next week. Thanks to producer Colin. And like we said before, $50 buys you any episode you want. You can make us watch anything. You can give us a less ranked topic, whatever you want to do.
That's right. And we double dog dare you.
Yes, exactly. So in the meantime, The Complete Works, just an episode on American Born Chinese, the Disney Plus series, which Michelle Yeoh appeared in. Next week, we're talking Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, which we just recorded. That was a very fun episode.
Yeah. Michelle Yeoh's a Falcon. That's neat. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yes, but weirdly, like, you know, this episode kind of came about because we talked about Transformers the movie a few weeks ago. So, you know, it's all full circle that we're doing the latest Transformers movie on the other podcast.
We got a lot of synergy between the two pods lately.
Exactly. And that is the end of this week's episode of Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. We will see you on the other side. Throw them all. You can touch around the world.